Hello, friends and fellow adventurers. Welcome to the Min-Maxed Podcast. We want to thank you for joining us, and you do so as we continue Bloodlords. As always, we'd like to invite you to come join our Discord, where you can hang out with us and other listeners of the show. And if you'd like to throw a little financial support our way, you can check out our Patreon. And a shout out to all of those at our Lich level and above. Rock Jedi, Wolf, Blood in the Slump, Thunder Mammoth, The Trevor Project, Das Chris, Fizzgig, AC Goldner, Eric R, Oh, just gonna skip right past you there, Indie Link, Tawdry Monster, Mercutio, Angel Shadow Art, Cyrendon, The Necromancer Forever, Doc Holliday, Corey, Robert T, Jason K, Dicky Lopez, Bobson Dugnut, Ricky Ropebridge, Alex K, Doma Alaka, Frank L, Just Mike Works, Ross D, Argoon's Long Lost Elbow, Big Deer, Zach S, Jimmy H, Mr. Turtle, Sleeve, Darren, Caleb W, Pickle, Mr. Grimm, Firedown, M54 Ewaz, Jameson S, Eric R, Plus 2 Vorpal Salmon of Whack, I'm Not a Robot, George F, Leo Hart, Hard, Witch Hunter, Jeremy D, Matthew M, Scott E, Progeny of Cthulhuin, Liz Giggles, Calistria Specialty, Brandon K, Gringus Maximus, Andrew G, Ebb and Flames, Booming Thunder, Henry, A School of Fish, Ice and Jam, and Chris W. Thank you all so much for your support. And now a recap of session 48. We're in the basement of the cottage. Yes, that cottage. Still that cottage. We find a note from the Benefactor. It's signed as From the Benefactor of Thornhearth, which is a small hamlet where nobody notable we can think of is from. On the back it says, Stonehearth, Hollow Flesh? Suspicious. As we search deeper, we find a giant-ass Shadow Heart. It is very freaky and deals lots of AoE damage. Eventually, though we can't really hurt it, we manage to break the Kuthite magic sustaining it with religious checks. Everyone is very injured. We heal up and head out. Seems the cabin has now, finally, transformed into its previous version, which is essentially just a pile of ash. The Divi Shula is very distraught at the now burned down cottage. For the rest of us, all feels right with the world. We head south, planning on stopping by Thornhearth on our way. We travel quite a bit, and outside of Thornhearth, we come across a couple people, Akui and Sawama, who are from Thornhearth. They're weak and emaciated. They have signs of having been fed on by a vampire many times. They say it was the Benefactor, and also that he disappeared right around the time Iron Tavia rose. We prepare to head into town and try and learn what's going on.
Are we still kind of in the shadows of the trees here?
You'd be like right down towards here.
Okay. How visible is our approach to anybody who might be in the village?
Pretty damn visible.
So at this point, would it be too late? Anybody looking would have noticed that we're with these two people?
You would be able to tell the point when it would be a good idea to do something about that if you would like to. Like just as it's coming up on the horizon.
Okay. I pull out rope. Look, I know you're scared of this Benefactor. I don't want you to be harmed or killed by him. Not that I care too much. But here, I have a plan. And I will suggest we tie up their hands and pretend like we captured them trying to run away. And I'll just take them back to their house and we'll say that that's why we arrived with them.
But according to them, the Benefactor's not even here.
She looks at you and she says, I'm not afraid of the Benefactor?
Oh, maybe I've got the wrong end of things. All right, fine. Let's just go.
We're looking for him. We want him back.
Oh, right. That's right. Keep forgetting this is evil. This is my bad. just totally got the wrong end of the stick there. Just
we want our tyrant back.
Yeah. Damn it. That sounds right. That sounds right. Okay. Okay, cool. That makes sense. Then I would suggest them to go home. They've had a meal from Kix's stores. We're going to go find the Benefactor. We'll take care of everything.
Oh, okay. You can stay with Sawama and I if you need. We don't have an inn or any place for visitors to sleep.
Oh, I fully plan on sleeping at the estate. I'm sorry, your accommodations are not quite to my standard.
Well, I suppose you may have to convince some people that you're a guest.
I will convince them of whatever I wish to convince them. However I wish to convince them.
Okay.
Choo-choo-loo.
I would imagine, like, right at the edge of the village is where that happens.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and they just kind of stand there, and you walk by. Seldeg walks up to you as you're walking slowly, because you can't have a whole conversation if you're walking fast through Thornhearth. You'll just zoom right past it.
Interesting. I've heard of this hamlet. But what connection does this have to Iontavia, I wonder?
Well, it seems that this is where the benefactor is from, and... Not clearly, but it would seem to indicate that the benefactor and Iontavia have grouped up. Probably the cottage being so nearby. Well, wait, no, not that nearby, right?
A week away.
That's right, never mind. Not nearby. Clearly, the benefactor and Iontavia got to know each other somehow.
Well, let's find out. You seem to have good rapport with the Quick if you try. Why don't you try your hand at some of the other villagers?
Why not just go to the estate and go in there?
He cocks an eyebrow.
And walk into a potential trap? Suit yourselves.
It's true we don't have our rogue anymore. But really, I think that will be where the best information is. But sure, let's gather information from these villagers. That's a thing I can do.
If that's how you wish to approach it, I would be interested in watching that.
Oh. People are interested in watching me do all sorts of things, darling.
I'm talking about all of you together, but do as you will. I will observe.
It is a joke, Seldeg. It's...
He doesn't have a sense of humor. Look at him.
Yes, I know.
He just grunts and snorts.
Well, I don't have anything special for gathering information, so just a diplomacy check, right?
Yep. If you'd like to gather information, get a diplomacy check.
I will take an hour, or however long it takes, and gather some information.
I will...
That's pretty bad.
I guess I should have rolled the diplomacy check.
All right. Fuck, I'll use my hero point.
I got a 35 to aid. Is that a crit at this level or not?
I rolled the same thing.
Did you just roll the same fucking
thing? I rolled the same thing as 16 twice.
Okay.
I get a 35 on my diplomacy.
I failed to aid.
So, Thornhearth is not a big place. It's a village. There's a few alleys on the road, you know, as it goes through Thornhearth, but one of the first things you see is a scabby knee child who is just off the side of the main road, is listlessly digging a hole with a stick, and she seems to be reciting something.
One, never talk to strangers unless they are the benefactor's guests. Two, never tell your name to any of the benefactor's guests. Three, never enter the benefactor's estate unless invited by the benefactor. 4. Never leave sight of Thornhearth because the forest and roads are dangerous.
Hello, my name is Lucan Hollow. I'm a friend of the benefactor. I'm one of his guests.
She looks up at you and her eyes go wide and bright. Really?
Yes. See, I'm a vampire, just like him.
Oh. Would you tell him to come down and visit us again?
Absolutely.
We miss him.
Oh, I'm sure you do. I do plan on visiting him very shortly, yeah?
If you follow the rules, the benefactor will protect you forever, too.
Yes, I have full faith in the benefactor's ability to be a great protector.
My name is Adifuo.
Are you lying to me?
No.
I thought one of the rules was don't tell your name to the benefactor's guests.
Oh.
That's all right. I won't tell him.
Oh.
It's okay. You'll be all right.
Okay.
But I have to ask a couple questions. Otherwise, I will tell the benefactor.
And the child with wide eyes, realizing that they've made a mistake, looks up.
Okay.
Excellent.
The kid looks terrified suddenly. He was beaming a moment ago. Now the child looks terrified.
You're going to make me scare a child. All right, I'll do it.
Too late. They scared themselves.
Fuck, what do I want to know from a goddamn kid? Does the kid have the scars on the neck, too?
Yes. Ooh, I actually have a picture.
There's even a picture of this. This child's important enough to have a picture, all right? Okay.
Also vampire bites.
Yes. All right. So, when you see the benefactor, does he always look the same, but sometimes different?
I've never seen him.
Oh, you never actually see him. Okay.
I hear stories.
What does the benefactor do? Do you know?
He protects us.
Protects you, yes, of course. Like, what does the benefactor do at that time?
I don't know. We can't go into his estate. He spends a lot of time in his estate.
Does he leave frequently?
He visits us occasionally. But if he leaves frequently, I don't see it.
Okay. Do you know what a hag is?
No. What's a hag?
Have you seen any very strange undead creatures around, besides my company?
And she looks behind, almost noticing for the first time, Seldeg, Arius, and even Shara. Well, Shara probably doesn't look too terrifying now in the social situation.
Are you kidding me? Get like pale white, like not like pale skin, but like chalk white skin and bleeding red eyes. Not bleeding red eyes, but like blood red eyes. Like, it's terrifying.
all right, fine. Her eyes go wider.
I think I heard a story.
I love stories. Care to share?
About a big lady who came by a few weeks ago.
Who was telling the story?
One of my friends. Another kid. I'm not going to tell you their name. Not making that mistake again.
Very good. You learn well.
No, the rules say do not tell a guest your name. It's not saying anything about somebody else's.
I feel like you're trying to trick me now. Anyways. What was the question?
I'm just pouring out a loophole in her logic, that's all.
True. These fucking benefactors' rules are not logically sound. I believe the question... Wait, what was the question? What did your friend see? Yes, what did your friend see?
Oh, it was a big lady, and she had hollow eyes, and iron claws, and a skull face, kind of like your friend.
I would.
She was big, really big, even bigger than Yanu.
Bigger than the skeleton?
Yeah, maybe not as big as the skeleton while he's on the horse, but...
Who is Yanu?
She's a farmer. She's a really big lady. Probably about as big as your skeleton friend there.
She leans over and waves at Arius.
Arius waves back.
Have you heard the good word of Zuriel?
if he asks you about Zuriel, just say yes and move on.
Yeah, I don't actually know how I'd respond if somebody said yes when I asked if they knew about Zuriel. I think I would just like awkwardly be like, all right then. And
okay.
Walk
okay.
away.
Fine, I guess.
Cool. See ya.
And the kid just kind of looks around, and she's been digging her hole with a stick the whole time. And she gets up and she brushes her hands off on her, you know, on her shirt. And again, there's dirt everywhere all over.
I gotta go. Bye.
What a clear, concise list of the rules you stumbled upon.
Clearly, the benefactor runs this village with a tight grip. And a strong bite.
So it would seem.
Well, shall we go see this, whoever it was, the big lady on the farm?
Yanu, I believe.
Yanu, all right. Sure, why not? It was a name drop. I'm willing. Do I see a farm?
There are a few. There are two major farms on the edge of town. One of them is Zakui's.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I'll go to the other one.
As you're traveling through the hamlet here, you notice really quickly, especially after talking to the kid and just being here and not riding through,
lot of the adults just seem... They keep their heads down. They don't make eye contact with you. Most of them have tried to go inside. It's not a lot of noise. It's kind of quiet. Very, very quiet here. When you get to the other farm, you come across a large human woman sitting on a fence, staring out at her, well, frankly, withering crops.
I suppose nobody's telling them to work.
I suppose. Yanu, I presume.
How do you know my name?
We were informed.
Oh.
My name is Lucan Hollow, and these are my compatriots. We are guests of the benefactor.
And she looks shocked for a moment, but it passes.
Okay. Hi. Can I help you?
Yes, you can help yourself. We were sent by the benefactor. We know he's been gone a while, and you're all very worried. Just wanted to let you know, he's fine. He sends his regards, and he wants you all to get back to work, get back to farming, get back to things as regular, make sure you're eating, staying healthy. He wants you nice and healthy and plump when he returns. And he will return. Can't tell you exactly when.
Her eyes narrow. Give me a deception check.
I get a 25 on that.
You see her eyes go, for at the beginning of your explanation, go wide and then narrow. And then her head turns to the side.
Really? Can I water my fields?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh.
Take charge. You're not in charge. But do as you would normally do to keep everything moving and working.
Normally, I wait to be told what to do.
Right, and I'm telling you.
You are. How long? How long for?
Well, forever, if that's as long as it takes.
She looks shocked.
Of course, the benefactor's a vampire. He is immortal. His business can take a very long time. He'll be back when he's back. You need to make sure everything's ready.
Her hand goes up to her head.
Wait, are you saying that I need to water the fields until he gets... Wait, forever? I don't know if I can get that much water onto the fields.
No, wait, hold on. We're a little at an impasse here. You do know how to farm without being told every aspect, right? You are a farmer?
Of course.
Then do what is necessary to make the farm function correctly.
Oh. Oh.
And do that indefinitely.
Okay.
And live. You know, eat. Make sure everybody's eating.
Everybody?
Yes, everybody. Everybody who lives here.
I'm not going to tell them that.
People are no good to a vampire if they're dead.
What?
This is straight from the the benefactor feeds on you.
Right.
Correct. Yes. So you're good to him if you're dead.
And she's looking around, especially at the party behind you. She almost she leans over conspiratorially with you.
Are you? Who are you? You shouldn't be shouting these secrets out loud.
It's not a secret. I told you we're friends with the benefactor. We're his guests.
And she just looks confused for a moment.
And he told you to tell me? To tell everybody that he said?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll go around and tell everybody what he said. You just need to make sure the farm works.
Oh. Oh, thank God. Oh. Okay.
All right. Too much pressure for you. All right. Of you, quick, is there anyone you might consider a leader?
No. The benefactor's the leader.
Of course he is. All right.
Obuasi is the oldest, maybe. He knows the most about the town.
He didn't really want to talk to me.
Obuasi?
Yeah, maybe I'll just go speak to Akwi.
Old guy.
When did you try to talk to Mawasi?
Oh, wait, is that the wrong name?
Wrong name.
Sawama is the one that won't talk. Yeah.
Nawasi. All right.
Obuasi.
All right, I'll go speak to Nobuasi. Have fun with the farm.
Okay.
Yep. Right. Okay. And she springs up.
Feed everybody in abundance.
Oh, no.
Right away, miss. And she immediately hops to And you can see her burst into the farmhouse, and she yells her kids' names. And before you know it, there are a handful of kids scattering to go get buckets and gather water and all of these things to try to save the withering field.
You know, I wouldn't want to have to be so micromanagerial about it. But if you could get these people some independence and have them just take care of things themselves, I'm starting to think this benefactor had a good thing going here. I rather like the idea. My own village? That survives just to feed me? Anyway, let's go see this Nobuwasi.
Yes.
So, you go, I would say, back into the village, but you really just kind of turn around. There is an old man. Like, you didn't get a lot of description of what Obuwasi looks like, but probably the oldest man in town, right? The oldest person in town. You see someone sitting on a stump on the other edge of the hamlet, and he looks like this. He's a older man with a gray beard, straw hat, just sitting on the stump.
I will approach. Hello, you must be Obuwasi.
I am.
My name is Lucan Hollow. These are my compatriots, and we are guests of the benefactor. And I am going to do something I have not done before, and use my manipulative charm.
Oh.
Which gives me some other things I can do, but what I'm going to use is the ability to cast charm once a day. Currently, it's heightened to 4th level. So I need a saving throw, a will saving throw from Obuwasi.
Okay. He gets a 14.
A 14 is going to be, what the hell is my save? A 24. Ha ha! So that is
a critical failure. Okay. Obuwasi critically fails.
The target's attitude becomes helpful toward you, and it can't use hostile actions against you. The duration lasts until the next time I make my daily preparations.
And as you finish the spell, you could see him, you know, his eyes spacey for a moment. He shakes his head real quick and,
oh, well, hello. You must be a guest.
That's exactly right, Obuwasi. You see, we understand that the benefactor has been gone for some time, and he has asked us to come and speak to you. He wants you to get the city, the town, the village, the hamlet, running and working the way it should be. We understand you haven't been making food or eating. We want that to change. He wants that to change. Make food, eat food, stay healthy, because when he returns, he wants everything working the way it should be.
Give me a deception check.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that you would still need to make a deception check, even if they're charmed.
Sure, why not? 32.
Critical success.
All right. And your name is?
Lucan Hollow.
Lucan Hollow. Okay. I'm just no beggar.
Well, you are being promoted.
Sorry?
Yes, you are no longer Obuwasi the beggar. You are Obuwasi the mayor.
The mayor?
Yes, you lead this hamlet now. That's your job.
What?
It's your job to make sure everybody knows that the benefactor wants them to do their jobs.
Okay.
Keep everybody alive as best you can.
Well,
make more people, you know, have your little babies.
So the benefactor's safe?
Of course. He's so powerful. How could he not be?
I knew that. In my heart, I knew that. But it's just good to hear it. It's just good to hear it. And, thank you, Lucan. I'll tell folks right away.
Excellent. That's fantastic. We will be up at the estate being guests. Really quick, Obuwasi, he also wanted us to talk to you. Do you know anything about the estate?
Oh, he probably sent you here for this.
And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a key.
Fantastic, Obuwasi. You are an excellent mayor.
It's to the front door of the estate. Actually, he gave it to my family generations ago, and we've been keeping it. He said he'd tell us when to give it back.
Yeah, you were absolutely correct. That's exactly what he said.
Oh.
Thank you so much for fulfilling your generational duty.
Oh. You're right. I did
it. You did?
I've been hanging on to that key for so long.
And you should be proud you fulfilled your purpose well. And now you have a new purpose. Mayor Obuasi.
And he looks up at you in his, like anime tears in his eyes.
He's, I'll do it, Lucan.
I know you will.
I'll do it.
I know, darling.
And he runs off with excitement. I'd say he runs across town and out of sight, but we know that's not true.
That's not a big town.
He turns around and he goes to talk to somebody who is 10 feet away, eavesdropping in on the conversation anyways.
I turn around and look at the party, holding the key up with a big shitty grin on my face. This is the most fun I've had in ages.
There we go. And the party loot, spare key to the estate's front door.
Fantastic. Shall we?
Seems kind of ridiculous that this beggar would have a key to the front door.
It is. It's probably just another trap. But let's go find out.
Let's go.
Yes, I'm done listening to you talk to these people.
I'm sorry I did all that RP. It was a great time.
I was going to ask you before, you took the cape, didn't you?
Yeah, I took the cape.
Do you not have it equipped? Because that should be giving you a +2 and override your bench. Because right now you get the +1 from the ring. The cape should be from the ring. Overriding that as a +2.
I don't think I equipped it.
I don't think a +1 would have mattered much, but...
No. Does anybody want this ventriloquist ring then?
Crit success on everything. What does it do?
It gives you a +1 on your deception checks.
Is there an active?
Allows you to cast ventriloquism once a day.
Yeah, also allows you to cast ventriloquism once a day.
Which is kind of, that's the magically throwing your voice.
Yeah.
Low DC.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't be against it. I've got an okay deception. It's 14. So a +1 would...
Sure, take it.
...not be terrible.
I've got a cape.
Cool.
What's a vampire without a cape?
I feel like there's got to be a good joke there, but...
I was doing the exact same thing. I'm just, like, scrambling in my brain for some terrible pun, but I got nothing.
But no, vampires do need capes.
They do. It's like a tradition.
Or at least a stereotype.
At least a stereotype. Yes. To the estate.
On your way to the estate, it's up a small hill that overlooks the hamlet of Thornhearth. Seldeg says to Lucan,
not a drop of blood spilled. I'm impressed, Lucan.
Why spill it when you can drink it? Setting myself up for future, perhaps.
And as you say that, the estate comes into full view. A brownstone manor house perches atop this hill, surrounded by rose bushes in full bloom. Two chimneys rise from the red shingled roof. Ivy covers the crumbling stone face overlooking the village, and no light shines within the tall windows.
So in comparison to the Theater of Sin, how much better is this place?
In comparison, well, I've got maps. You notice as you approach, there's double doors that lead into the front. There is a antiquated brass doorbell that hangs beside the door. You've got free roam in the map if you want to go ahead and hop up there and use the key or anything else you want to try.
I suppose it would be rude not to ring the bell.
I suppose. Who wants to do it?
Shara rings the bell.
All right.
Shara.
Ah! You did it.
I did it to my own character.
The bell rings, and you can hear it echoing inside. And you wait a moment. Several moments pass. Nothing. No response. No movement from inside. Nothing.
All right. Well, hand you the key.
We did the due diligence. Did you check it for traps already?
No, but we should. Perception.
Perception.
A little perception.
Sundrinker gets a 29.
So far, the best is Sundrinker at a 29.
You do not detect any traps. Before you go in opening the front door, Seldek says,
I will not enter the estate with you. I believe the benefactor to be dead, to be frank. However, if he is indeed alive in there, then I have no right to enter into his property without an invitation as a ruler of a Gellin city.
But if he is the one that we are after, then don't you, like, have a warrant? Like...
No.
Fine. Shera, you're the one with the key. Would you mind going inside and then inviting me in, please, darling?
Certainly. I will unlock the door and open it.
I love you're just, like, 100% trading it. Like, this is my house now.
Yes.
No, I mean, I also think this guy is either dead or gone. And
yeah, I think he's definitely gone.
We have information we need, so I'm going in.
Yeah, Seldek trusts that you'll be able to do so, but he won't be the one doing it.
Okay, I'm inside. Lucan, would you like to come inside?
Oh, why, thank you, Shadow.
It is so nice and warm.
I know, I don't really have to do that. I know the rules don't really call for it, but it just makes me feel better. Otherwise, I'm just uneasy.
So you walk in. The ceilings within the estate are 10 feet high, except for you notice off to your left the dining hall, which has a high vault ceiling about 20 feet up. There are no windows on the first floor.
Of course, he's a vampire. He doesn't have the cool red glass like we do.
Right. There are several sconces suitable for lamps that are mounted in the hallway, and you see onto the room off to your right, which looks like it might be a library or a drawing room of some kind.
Oh, look at all those books.
And, you know, off to the left in the dining hall as well. As you're stepping in, Kix, are you coming in or are you staying outside?
I'm coming. I didn't even realize we had a map yet.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Benefactor, are you here? Hello? Mr. B.
The first rule about the benefactor is we don't talk about the benefactor.
The floorboards creak. You hear the house almost shifting in the distance, and what sound to be these ghostly whispers from in the distance. You get an ominous feeling. Almost like there's some spiritual echo in the estate. You have three ways that you can go. Down a hallway straight in front of you, dining hall to your left, or the library slash drawing room to your right.
I'm immediately drawn to the library.
I'm assuming Lucan goes for the library, so let's check that out first.
Okay.
Paperwork. Count me in.
This cozy drawing room is appointed with rich velvet sofas and chairs, and thick brocade rugs are arranged attractively on the stone floor.
Why are you saying it like it's a Price is Right thing? It's like,
I don't know. No, now I can't stop.
Mahogany chair.
Chairs.
Thick brocade rugs are arranged attractively on the stone floor. And all this can be yours.
If the price is right. I'm sorry, just...
No, it's okay. Let me finish. Mahogany bookcases and curio cabinets cover one wall entirely, while another wall hosts a massive stone hearth.
Sundrinker goes and sits on it. Now it's a thorn hearth.
Only cold ashes remain in the fireplace.
I want to look around. I suppose they probably wouldn't be here. I open up some of the nicest looking books to see if they've been monogrammed on the inside. See if anybody, like if the owner has, said belongs to such and such.
Mm, gotcha.
Pull out a few handfuls.
You don't see anything like that, no.
I look for letters, the desk, the chest, like discarded mail, anything like that.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
25?
With a 25, you actually notice the westernmost bookshelf, the one that you're actually standing right next to, has a mechanism. You're going to pull a book out, and you realize that it's not coming very easily.
That means you need to rub it more.
This does something. I look more closely.
As you're lifting the book up, you see that it's tied to a mechanism that is going to open something.
Is it a good something or a bad something?
Yeah, that's the question. Is it a good something or a bad something? Shara, there's some kind of mechanism here. I can't tell if it's a good witch or a bad witch.
Okay, what would you like me to do about it?
Probably you be the one to pull it. And I step back.
Shira, like, instinctively, like, raises her shield up and, like, between her and the book, and then pulls the book.
So as you pull the book, it click, 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 click. Just like, you know, you can hear that it connects to something big, and as it retracts back with a ratcheting sound, a door begins to open. And at that moment, on the eastern side of the room, so the opposite side that the bookshelf is on, a door opens.
Sick.
Leading to a secret stairwell going down. And as that occurs, a spectral figure of a handsome, well-dressed man flees down the stairs, clutching a wound in his side with one hand and making a shoving motion with the others. And he shouts, "Get back!" And as he yells, "Get back!" I'm going to need a fortitude save from Shara and Arius.
I was just sitting in a nice chair.
Can you post this fortitude save?
The flight. Oh, good. Oh, that's so cool. Because it's a flight of stairs and he was running away.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. Well done.
I thought so too.
Would this be considered a spell?
It has the divine and evocation traits, but it is not a spell. It is magic, but it is not a spell. Here's the reaction. It's called defensive shove, and the trigger is when the basement stairs open. All right, what'd you guys get?
Shara gets a 30.
Shara gets a 30. Okay, Shara, you succeed.
Arius gets a 25.
25. Arius fails. So Shara is going to be pushed back into Lucan Hollow, all the way back into Lucan.
I'm laughing a little bit as I see a spell go off, and then you hit me and knock me to the ground.
Shara and Lucan, you both take 5 points of damage. The force of Shara ramming back into you was almost as though Shara... It hurt.
As long as you didn't break one of my nails.
Arius would fly back 20 feet, but can't.
He's sitting in a chair. You just tip my chair over, you bastard.
The chair just falls over.
The chair tips over. You fall backwards against the floor and the wall. You are now prone, and you take 10 points of damage.
God damn it.
And at that moment, we are going to go into initiative. We are in initiative with a haunt that revealed itself after a secret door was opened. And the haunt shouts at them to get back. And it wins initiative by a good margin.
15 is a good margin?
Yeah, it's a good margin. Its routine is very simple. It spends one action to shout. And that shout is... all creatures in a 60-foot area need to give a will save. So let's go ahead and have everybody in the party give me a will save.
No line of sight shit?
Yeah, is it line of sight like would Sundrinker and Kix have to roll it?
Because it's audible, oh, okay. Yes.
I'm going na 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 na.
Even Sundrinker, because they're outside.
Even Sundrinker. All the doors are open.
We'll save in it.
I'm a bard now. I counter perform.
Oh, it was almost a 20. 27.
Okay. So.
Arius got a 29.
Is this mental?
No. It's Sonic.
The Hedgehog?
Sonic Divine Evocation.
But not a spell?
Not a spell.
Well, I'll get a 34.
So this is a basic will save. The DC, well, let's put it this way. Kix fails with a 27. Arius succeeds with a 29. So that means that we have a success from Shara and Arius and a failure from Sundrinker, Kix, and Lugin. Your failures are going to take all of this sonic damage. 12. Successes will take half of that, 6. And for every one that failed, you are paralyzed.
For how long?
One round.
Cool.
It's easy. I can't do anything to help you guys anyways.
The only ones who are not paralyzed are Shara and Arius.
Are the next two to go?
So that is the haunt's turn. Which takes us to either Arius or Shara. They tied with a 24. Who goes first?
Sure, you can go first. Because I don't know what we're going to do. Do we have a counter to haunts?
What kind of check do I need to make about this thing?
If you're looking for a recall knowledge, you're looking at either occultism or religion.
Religion it is. 28.
You are able to determine that this is the spiritual echo of somebody who was obviously fighting for their lives, their existence. And this was a moment that they took a stand. And that secret door triggered it. You think that you can do one of two things. Get rid of what triggered it.
Close the door.
Or try to drain its spiritual energy with incantations from Urgothoa.
So, more religion checks.
If you want to disable religion checks.
I mean, we want to go up that stairwell, so I don't want to close the door.
Yeah, you'd be going down.
Okay, I don't want to go down those stairs. Or I want to go down those stairs, so I don't want to close the door, which I assume is what you mean by...
That's my assumption.
Getting rid of what started it?
Yeah.
So how many actions is it to do an Urgothoa incantation?
That would be a disabled device, so 2 actions.
2. So I did 1 recall. Let's do 2 more to disable. And I get a 29.
Nice. You feel it push back against you. And you can feel that whatever spiritual energy is lashing out from this point is too much for you to overcome. You need to be an expert in religion in order to disable this haunt.
Is anybody here an expert?
In occultism?
You can disable... You don't know. Kix has shown you some pretty crazy occult shit. He might be able to do this, but you're not sure.
And he's paralyzed.
Well, it's my turn.
Arius?
And see, David, this is the bullshit that I dislike. I know you think it's good, but I think this is bullshit.
What happened?
That you have to be expert or whatever.
Oh, that type of
do
shit.
Yeah. Something.
It's like, if I can roll high enough, why does it fucking matter what
you are?
Like, if a 28 is a success, why does it matter if I'm trained or expert or not?
Well, that's the tricky part. The DC here is actually 30 for religion.
Jesus!
Which you would only be able to make in an 18 or higher, but it does have the expert prereq.
So it wouldn't matter even if I did.
Even if you did.
I mean, haunts are just tough always.
Can I intimidate the haunt?
Can you?
I am a master at intimidating.
You could
things.
Totally intimidate the haunt. Is it going to listen to you? I don't know.
No. I don't even know what the fuck I'm going to do. Well, first thing, I'm going to stand because I'm fucking prone. Yeah, I can't really do much against haunts, I don't think.
Which is funny, because most of the time clerics are like, oh yeah, haunt, I got this. Not you.
Are you calling me a cleric? Fuck you! I guess I'm just gonna fucking. Do I just leave the room? I mean, you guys are just paralyzed for a round, so that's whatever. I just. Anybody have any ideas of anything I could do against the haunt?
Kiss it!
I'm not gonna close the door, though, but I can't.
You could try and just run down. Just see if you run down there, see if you get past it.
Do I see if a ghostly being or anything, or was it just a voice, or how did you describe it again?
There is like a spectral figure. He's a handsome, well-dressed man, and he's clutching a wound in his side.
I'm just a stupid fighter, I mean cleric, so I'm just going to go take a swing at it.
And it's going to right through
where,
it.
Where was it? Over here?
But yeah, no, you can move. Yeah, right there is fine.
Okay, I take a swing with it with my ghost touch sword.
Fuck, you have a ghost touch sword. Hold on a sec.
How does that work? I'm assuming I still can't touch it because it's a haunt, but there's an incorporeal being in front of me. So, can I break it?
That is a valid argument.
I'm going to reread how ghost touch works as well. And it just says I can harm creatures without physical form. Ghost touch weapon is particularly effective against incorporeal creatures.
So as far as I can tell, it depends on the haunt. Like, if the haunt has defenses that can be, you know, you can stab it or whatever, or hit point pool. Some haunts just have an AC and hit points and will saves and all that.
Break. Yeah.
Right. This particular one does not. Now, and this is a moment where I'm like, if it were spiritual energy that wasn't manifesting as a spectral figure, like, it's not this man's ghost. I can say that from a story standpoint. It's just the spiritual energy of the moment.
As a haunt typically is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel like that's just what a haunt is.
And because of that, no. The ghost touch weapon does not do any damage to this haunt.
All right. I still use my action to take a swing, though. I didn't know better, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not to say that won't work in the future with other haunts, just with this one, it doesn't.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. So, going by Lucan and Kix in the initiative order because they are paralyzed.
Bitch.
No longer so. However, we are going to have another will save moment as the sonic blasts coming from this man's scream assault you. You can understand what he's screaming, and he's screaming it over and over again. He's screaming Tavia. Tavia! Tavia!
Oh, yeah. Sure, of course he is.
So, go ahead and everyone give me will saves.
Am I just perpetually stuck being paralyzed?
Depends on if you succeed this will save.
Tyler, should I be scared of a critical fail?
It's no different from a regular failure. No, I take that back. You'll take double damage. But you're not going to be more paralyzed. Okay. So, looking through everybody's saves here, it looks like this round, Shara and Sundrinker are not paralyzed. Everyone else is.
Do we still take damage? Or is it...
You will still take damage. I just have to roll it. Give you a sec.
Haunts are a fun mechanic and bring a lot to the game.
I love how you sound like you really mean that.
30 on 40-10, which means Kix, you take 60.
Do I know that? Can I do a hero point before I know the damage? I mean, after the damage, or is it after the effect if I know I failed or not?
I mean, you're using it to prevent yourself from going down, essentially, right?
No, I'd be at like 4 HP.
Hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
You might want to save it for when you go
down, so you don't die.
Because you could always critically fail again, because it's a pretty hard save.
All right. So this round, Shara and Sundrinker are the only ones that get to go. But I don't believe Sundrinker can act independently of Lucan, can he?
Yes. So the conditions... It's like the damage is shared, but the conditions are not.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But can he do stuff without... I suppose paralyzed isn't mental, though.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it is. Like they aren't... It's not like an animal companion where I have to give Sundrinker actions. We just share an action pool.
Gotcha. Okay, then Shara, between the two, goes first. Shara, it's your turn.
I changed my mind from last round. I push the book back and see if it closes.
Shara, you put the book back into its place, and the secret door closes shut, and the spectral figure disappears. We are now out of initiative.
Ish.
Well, I want to go up there, but not that badly. Poor Kix doesn't look like he can take much more.
Kix's ears are bleeding.
We'll come back to it.
Well, time to rest and recuperate. Let's do some heal checks if we have the opportunity.
Where are you doing this?
Do I see a comfy place to sit?
Yeah, I don't know that, like, sitting down here is the greatest idea until we have at least healed Kix up a little bit. So I will drop... Do I have... Hold on, better make sure I haven't already used it. I do have my focus pool, so okay. Kix, you will receive 24 healing.
You will take
healing.
What?
Take, don't, receive 24
don't
healing.
Don't knock me out. Call it. I'm unconscious! Oh, never mind. It was negative. Forgot about that shit.
I will do a round of healing.
Again, where are you doing it?
Well, I can see this dining room as though I see open chairs at this long table.
But we just walked into somebody else's house. We can't just, like, sit down and hope nobody bothers us.
I mean, that's kind of what you're doing. Or at least what you're talking about.
It depends.
I harm myself. Who else is very hurt?
I'm still down a lot.
Kix. I only heal
how much
for 24.
How much is a lot?
I mean, can we not just do, like, some med checks? Or is that what we
don't want? That's what Tyler just said, is we probably don't want to talk.
We want to avoid it. Well, okay. I am down 58.
Before we even try, I want to make sure we're at least okay.
And at the moment, half of you are standing in the sitting room, and the other half are in the hallway at the entrance.
Kix, take 41.
To the kitchen, to the kitchen, to the kitchen.
Yeah, I want to go look in the dining room. Kitchen. I was just going to go have a seat in the dining room.
I'm down 7. I'm satisfied.
But there might be people in the dining room.
All right, we're healed. Let's kill him.
I'll look in there. Are there people?
So what I'm getting is a couple of spells after closing the hatch to the, you know, the downstairs, the basement.
Yeah, we close their hatch, do 2 quick rounds of spell healing, and then
now you're ducking into the dining room. In the dining room, there is this absolutely grand mahogany table, and it proudly occupies the center of this room. Goblets filled with what you see to be congealed blood, and the north one is spilled on the tablecloth. There are only 2 place settings, and they are at the far ends of this table. Just for kind of distance context here, they're 30 feet away. This table is 30 feet long, and the 2 places were marked at the end. You can clearly see that the 2 high-backed chairs are toppled over, and one of them is missing a leg. There are puddles of wax dotted throughout the tablecloth, indicating that there may have been candles here, but they've completely burned into just puddles. So again, 2 places, both high back chairs, knocked over, goblets of congealed blood, one of them intact at the southern end, and one spilled on the northern end.
Well, looks like this did not go well, whatever was happening here.
Indeed.
You probably know more about blood than I do. How long do you think this has been sitting here? And I, like, dip my finger into this pitcher of blood.
Yeah, I make a medicine check.
You're not sure what kind of blood it is, but you know it's been here probably around 3 to 4 weeks.
It's been here longer than you might think. 3 to 4 weeks.
Does that coincide with when the benefactor kind of disappeared from town? I know we had kind of gotten it's been, you know, a couple weeks since we've seen him or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
It gets close from what you've heard. You haven't heard any specific dates on anything. Anyone you've talked to, you know, isn't able to tell you any detail.
Sure, we'll move to the north end of this room.
Okay. Sure, as you get to the north end, you see that there is just one other room at the end of this long dining hall, and it's clearly the kitchen.
Well, we better move in there just to double check it.
As you walk into the kitchen, you see an iron stove in the southeastern corner. You can also see that there are cast iron cooking implements on shelves all over here. There's a thin layer of dust you can see along like the top shelves. It looks like this place doesn't see much use.
Quick glance around. Well, slightly more in-depth glance around, I should say.
Okay, go ahead and give me a perception check.
Not good. 16.
It's just a kitchen. And not just is it just a kitchen. This thing hasn't seen use in a while. Longer than 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, it looks like there's just a kitchen back here. I think we can hole up here to heal. Take a break.
I agree. Let's do that.
All right. Going into treat wounds here?
Of course.
Seems safe from where you're at.
Is there any kind of, doesn't look like there's any kind of door here to the kitchen or to the dining room?
That is correct. They are open doorways. They're not occupied by doors. Same thing for the sitting room that you first entered.
Okay. Well, I will take 10 minutes to refocus if we get it.
I will take 10 minutes to heal up if we get it while he refocuses. Or she.
Nothing interrupts you at the moment.
Okay. Sundrinker works their way in.
Kind of squeezes through the door.
Yeah. D's 20. Anybody who needs it over this 10 minutes, take 27.
As it shows there, I only needed 26. I am fully healed.
Nice.
I would assume that should fully heal Kix also. Because I think he's only down a couple after Arius's heal. How much are you down?
I'm still down 20, but I don't know. Should be all right. I'll live, hopefully.
No, you won't.
During these 10 minutes, should we discuss what the hell we want to do to try and get past this fucking haunt?
Well, for the moment, I think we ignore it and move on.
My psychic powers tells me there's a switch on the other side.
I like that. You may very well be right. I'd say, yeah, for now, let's just ignore it and move on.
So the 10 minutes goes off without any issue. What is moving on? Where do you go from here?
Well, let's go back out into that hallway, and then we gotta move down the hallway.
Nobody's searched the dining room.
True. I was healing the whole time.
I mean, I wasn't doing shit while you guys were healing up, so I might as well just take a look.
All right.
Shara rolled really, really badly. So,
in the kitchen.
That's their honor roll.
Yeah.
Not much better. 27.
As you're kind of walking around and checking things out while Lucan is healing everybody up, you're taking your time. You know it takes these folks a while sometimes to get healed up.
Especially the quick.
Yeah, right. Right towards the end of the 10 minutes, you detect this spiritual energy on the northern end of the long mahogany table.
All right. What do I see?
You don't see anything. You feel it. It feels like you're drawn to it. It feels like...
God damn it. Is this a haunt?
It feels like a fight.
You just bait me into a haunt? You motherfucker.
Arius is drawn to this because it's a fight. There's a fight going on here. There was... For a moment, this dining room was a battleground. And Arius feels it here, the strongest. Nothing happens.
Thank God.
That's just what Arius feels.
Yeah, I feel like something bad's gonna happen.
The only place you ever want low perception checks is a fucking haunted house. No, I don't want to see shit.
Don't make me.
Take it back, I never looked.
Put on a blindfold.
Just take your eyes out. Your fiery blood eyes or whatever the hell you have.
Yeah. So does Arius tell anybody, or is Arius just like, nah, I'm gonna pass on that?
Oh, that's a big nope. I just enjoy the moment.
Okay.
It needs no further investigation.
Well, I guess we move on then.
I guess we move on.
Because nobody else knows anything's going on.
Then where do you go? There's really only one place aside from down these stairs behind the secret door you stumbled upon. And that's
we have
the
magic. There's places we can go. We make a hole in the ceiling.
Once they're done with their fucking healing, I'll let them know about the feeling I got from it. I'll wait the 10 minutes, though, so I don't interrupt them. Does anybody do anything after I tell you about the feeling I got from that end of the table?
What do you want, like a religion check?
Religion, occult.
If you want to, like, slow down and listen and try to feel it in this area as well, yeah. Give me either a religion check or an occultism check.
Does it have to be higher than trained?
For religion? Yes.
God damn it.
Well, then, fuck that.
Yeah, I'm trained.
I got 22.
I got a 30, but I'm trained.
But you're also only trained.
Oh, yeah, but I'm also trained. Yeah.
Well, that's up to Kix.
Give it a shot, Kix.
Heck yeah. Which, in this room? Where am I going?
Is there something other than religion he can do?
Yeah, oh, occultism.
Yeah, I don't have religion. Yeah.
At the end of the table, near the high back chair that's knocked over, next to the goblet of congealed blood that's been spilled onto the runner, you feel the taming energy of a fight about to break out. Anybody who listens for it with all of your checks, from the 22 from Lucan to Arius's 30. Arius, I've got more for you.
36. Occultism.
Jeez, you're a master in occultism?
Yeah.
Damn.
You do. You feel that. It's that teeming edge of a fight about to break out. There's electricity in the air, like somebody's about to throw a chair across the room or lunge across the table.
Arius is finally going to kill you.
You could try. You have a brain, sorry.
And as you're all getting down close and listening, I need you all to roll initiative.
We've been tricked, bamboozled.
Yeah, nobody saw this coming.
Fucking haunts! What is this, three haunt encounters in a row? You'd think we were in the land of the dead or something. Nah, I actually really like haunts. They're like a combat puzzle with lots of lore. Will we manage to overcome this one or run away like the last one? Find out next time as we continue Haunt Lords. And until then, may you have many great adventures of your own.
It's your turn.